Welcome to the September 19th, 2019 Highlands Council meeting. Roll call?
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holdaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sebetich.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Boden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
I think we also have on the phone Jennifer Moriarty, Deputy Attorney General. Is that correct? Jennifer, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Open Public Meetings Act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the approval of the Highlands Council minutes of July 18th, 2019. Need a motion and a second?
I'll move it.
Okay, moved by Councilmember Holdaway, seconded by Councilmember Francis. Any discussion? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holdaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Boden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Richko.
Yes. Chairman's report. A few days ago, we received notice that one of our former members, Mimi Letts, passed away.
Excuse me, Carl.
Yes. Okay.
I can't hear.
All right. Councilmember Sebetich would like us to make sure we use the microphone so that he could hear. So we received a message that Mimi Letts had passed away. She was one of the original members of the Highlands Council. I know she served from the very beginning with Tracy and with Kurt. I served with her for about a year, year and a half. I always found her to be very knowledgeable, very positive, and just a really all-around really nice person. Our condolences to her husband, her family, and also to the residents of Parsippany, who I know will miss her. She was a mayor there for quite a few years. I know, Kurt, you wanted to say something?
Sure. I was just going to say that we shared a common heritage, and that I lived in Parsippany until seventh grade. And interestingly, Dan Van Abbs was my next-door neighbor, so I grew up next door to the Van Abbs. And during Mimi's tenure as mayor, Mike Peckerman was chief of police. Mike Peckerman and I were in Boy Scouts together, and he was my patrol leader. And so it was kind of funny how our lives really connected in a lot of ways. But perhaps most amusing was the fact that Mimi would always get me in trouble. And we got scolded one day at a Highlands meeting here. We sat over where Mayor and Mike are sitting right now, and she would always start talking to me during public session. And it would start pretty small, and then it would sort of build in mind. And one day somebody was speaking, and she was telling me something, kind of giggling, and then the person, you know, scolded us. She got me in trouble. But it was certainly a pleasure serving with Mimi. She was always delightful, and I think a true public servant, I think, who understood what it meant to serve unselfishly, and it certainly is a loss to our county and to Parsippany.
Thank you. I had the same experience. I know Tracy's going to say something. I had the same experience sitting next to her. I remember maybe my first or second meeting, somebody had a comment from the council, and she said, uh-oh, watch out what's going to happen next. And she was right. There was quite a discussion and quite an argument, and I'll always remember that. She was such a delightful person. Tracy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed serving with Mimi Letts. She always prepared for the meetings, and she was really a good conversationalist, and we would chat beforehand many times before the meetings. She was a real champion for Parsippany, too, of course, and really did her community proud with her service here on the council. And I'm very sorry for her loss, and want to pass on my condolences, as I'm sure you know all the council members feel the loss of Mimi to her family.
Thank you. Any other council members want to say anything? Okay, I have one more item. A couple of weeks ago, the Highlands Coalition sponsored a forum on the harmful algae bloom. And they're going to have two more forums, and I know a lot of people are interested in this, and I certainly will attend one that's going to be in West Milford. There's going to be one on October 8th at the Mountain Lakes High School, and then October 9th at the, I think it's called the Olive Branch, or the
Almond
Branch Church in West Milford. So please attend if you're interested in hearing more about the harmful algae bloom. Executive Director's report.
Okay. Well, I'm actually going to start off with a harmful algal bloom or HAB update. Since our last report in August, since my last public report in August, there have been some significant changes to the conditions of Highlands Region lakes that are being affected by HABs. The situation for Lake Apapcon has remained basically the same, with several beaches reopened on the lake. Unfortunately for the New Jersey side of Greenwood Lake, the water advisories do remain in place. The advisory in place from Lake Musconetcong in Stanhope has actually just been lifted as of today, so that's some positive news. But Bud Lake in Mount Olive continues to be closed to water contact. In some other good news, the advisory for Spruce Run Reservoir was lifted a few days ago. However, they've just identified some recent additional HAB at the boat ramp, so I think we have to sort of stay tuned for what happens at Spruce Run. We continue to work closely with municipalities and the DEP to advance lake management planning efforts that will contribute to improved lake health and can assist, hopefully, in the reduction of future algal blooms. In addition, we've organized a meeting for later this month with the Lake Apapcon and Greenwood Lake Commissions to discuss additional ways that we as the council might be able to be helpful in addressing these HABs. So we're looking at being proactive on this. So under plan conformance updates, I want to just share a few positive notes. We continue, obviously, to reach out to initiate and reinvigorate plan conformance activities in municipalities and counties. Since my last report, we have had outreach meetings with Morris Township. We had a very productive meeting with Warren County last week. We met with them to go over plan conformance activities and how we might work together. And later that night, the freeholders passed a resolution to apply to the Highlands Council for funding to do a transportation analysis of existing light industrial zoning. And this study will analyze the amount of light industrial and warehouse development that is currently zoned in Warren County and determine the potential impacts on the county road system. And there's a lot of interest in this issue, particularly in Warren County, as you can imagine. And coming up, we have several outreach meetings scheduled in the near future with Harmony and Greenwood Townships in Warren County, with Mountain Lakes in Morris County, and with Union Township in Hunterdon County. And I'm also excited to announce that for the first time, the Highlands Council submitted a proposal and we'll be conducting a workshop at ANJEC's annual Congress. ANJEC is the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. It's a huge event that generally gets about 300 to 400 people. And one of the reasons I think it's so productive for us is, as most of you probably know, environmental commissions can really play a critical role in moving their townships towards plan conformance activities. Often townships will look to them as the experts to advise them. This workshop is going to be focused on grant funding involving commissioners and an overview of our interactive mapping tool, which they can use locally. So, you know, there's some significant value, hopefully, for them for this workshop. Under project updates, as I think you've seen, we issued an RFP on September 10th for the Highlands Region Economic Sustainability Plan. Just to refresh your memory, the goal is to develop a plan that includes an economic profile, analysis of growth potential, development of growth strategies, and an implementation action plan. We convened a steering committee of economic development and planning professionals to do the first step and help write the RFP. And this steering committee includes Council Member Haltaway, who reported out on this at our last meeting. And for our next steps, we will be selecting an awardee and then developing a stakeholder outreach plan and creating a technical advisory committee. And we expect to include constituencies at that point with expertise in business, ecotourism, recreation, etc. And the intent is to develop a plan which includes all relevant perspectives. Moving on to municipal and county grants, Ringwood Borough submitted a scope of work to perform a watershed-based assessment of borough lakes. This regional approach to watershed management will seek to identify water quality impairments and suggest local improvements to increase lake resiliency. The scope totals almost $92,000, and the approval to begin work on this was authorized in July. Continuing under project reviews, we've conducted one planning area exemption review. The applicant was the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. They're seeking an exemption 11 to rehabilitate earthen dams at Round Valley Reservoir in Clinton Township, and the staff finding was that this was exempt. And we've conducted two water quality management plan amendment reviews, one for a warehouse in Roxbury, where we determined it was consistent with the regional master plan. The other is a townhouse development in Denville, again, staff finding it was consistent with the regional master plan. A quick TDR and HDC update. Since my last report, three HDC allocations have been received. They're for three separate lots in Ringwood Borough, totaling almost 16 acres. On the personnel update side, on September 4th, we welcomed Owen Salas to our GIS team. He unfortunately couldn't be here today, but I'll introduce him at the next council meeting. And he joins us with extensive experience in GIS and the GPS field collection and remote sensing fields. Lastly, on the training front, we are hosting in conjunction with DEP on September 26th, a stormwater management compliance training for Highlands municipalities and counties. The DEP will be highlighting their mapping and inventory application, and participants will learn how to use it to collect new infrastructure data, to integrate existing data from other sources, and to monitor compliance with MS4 permitting requirements. So we're excited about that. It looks like we're going to have a good turnout. And in conclusion, our next council meeting is scheduled for October 17th.
Thank you, Lisa. We'll move on now to the Budget and Finance Committee. We have two resolutions. Council Member Haltaway is the chairperson, and he'll handle it now.
A request for qualifications for GIS services was issued by the council. The committee is recommending that the council pre-qualify three vendors for GIS services, and we'll have a brief presentation.
Thank you. GIS, our geographic information services, are the most important part of what the council does. They provide the basis of the RMP, they provide information for project reviews, for the development of the NPRR, even for open space and Highlands Development Credit purchase acquisitions. So without them, we wouldn't have the RMP, and we wouldn't be able to operate on a daily basis. Now, GIS has become a highly competitive field and has become very specialized. We only have a three-member staff. This is down from a four-member staff. And with the constantly changing field, it's hard to keep staff that have knowledge in every aspect of the field. And it's also hard to retain staff. As soon as staff gets a couple of years' experience, they'll want to move out and move on to another position. So to address this, what we did was put out an RFQ for GIS services to basically use on a case-by-case basis to fill in the gaps from when we need additional staff members or additional, we have additional workload that needs to be addressed. We're unable to hire additional persons. Even if we were, the cost would be well above what our budget allows. So with this, we can hire as we needed and do the work that's necessary to support the RMP. So we put out the RFQ and we received 10 responses. Four met the minimum requirements. The most important minimum requirement was Highland's experience. Because these are small contracts, we're only recommending $25,000 per year. There isn't time built into the contract for a vendor to really come up or get up to speed with Highland's experience. We need vendors with Highland's experience that can hit the ground running when we need it. So based on that, four met the minimum requirements. However, we recommend awarding to three of them, basically Cardo Concepts, Ziggy Spatial LLC, and Suburban Consulting Engineers. The detailed information for all of the recommended vendors is in your packet. Cardo Concepts is an individual who currently operates our interactive map we have under contract. We'll end that contract if this resolution is approved. Ziggy Spatial LLC is a former employee that has excellent knowledge on the development of the multi-layered GIS layers that are used in the development of the RMP. And again, we have him under contract. You recently approved a contract for him to do the wastewater management plan updates. That contract will end if this is approved. And the third is Suburban Consulting Engineers, which is a medium-sized engineering firm that has a 10-member staff that's located in Flanders that does a lot of Highlands work for municipalities and also works with us through plan conformance. Because they have a larger staff, if we need a larger project, they'll be able to scale up and provide us some services there. It's recommended that the contracts would be for 3 years for not to exceed amount of $25,000 per vendor per year. That way we don't need to come back every year for an award. And this is really anticipated to address our GIS service needs for the foreseeable future. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, and most of the details are provided in the memos.
Well, this is a voting matter with public comment. We do need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
I will second.
Moved by Councilmember Holtaway, seconded by Councilmember Vizioli. Any discussion for the council? Any questions or discussion?
Good.
Yes, Councilmember Dressler.
What would it cost us to hire another person full-time to do this work?
Well, it would cost at least, the going rate would be approximately $70,000 for the salary, but that does include the benefits that are required from the state. It doesn't include the space we need, the hardware we need to support that person, the licenses for the software that are required.
So we're saving money with this?
Yeah, so by the time you do that, you're well over $100,000 a year. And we're always on. In this case, this is a maximum of $75,000. If we don't need the services, we won't ask for the work.
Councilmember Holtaway?
I think this is a very nice idea for the council. This gives them a tremendous amount of flexibility. And as we know, deadlines on a lot of things show up, and you need more manpower than you can muster internally. As James said, I'm an engineer. I had a CAD department, and I understand the complexity and how crazy this stuff is all becoming. And just trying to keep your employees, internal employees, trained on all this stuff is so time-consuming that the ability to actually produce is severely impacted. And one employee for the same dollars couldn't begin to get the amount of work done that they can do by placing it with the most skilled vendor for that particular service. So I think this is another great step forward for the council.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Just clarification. You mentioned that one contractor was a former employee.
Yes.
It says here that Cardo also was.
Yes, sorry. Yes, they were both former employees. Cardo and Ziggy Spatial, separate entities, both former employees. Cardo Concepts was an employee probably about 2 years ago, 2 years prior. He currently does our existing interactive map work, and we currently have him under contract.
Right, just for transparency purposes, I wanted that on the record.
Yeah.
And secondly, in your three-year contract, so you don't have to come back to the council for 3 years, what have you put in as far as a 90-day stop, or if they don't keep up on the technology, because I do know a little bit about GIS, and it is changing rapidly. We used it, obviously, in a lot of traffic stuff in town. So if the company that you hired does not perform, what's your out
escape clause?
Yeah. Well, we can terminate. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we could terminate at any time under our standard terms and conditions. And obviously, we would have to pay for work performed up to that date. With monthly billing, you know, that's there may be 30 days in there.
But and also because these all this work is going to be based on task orders, so we'll ask them for a specific product. If we don't feel at any time they're able to do that product, we simply won't ask them for work to be done.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Coluccio.
Could you address what the advantages of the interactive ERI over the static ERI for the public?
That's the next resolution.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he'll give a presentation on that as well.
All right.
Any other comments from the council? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public. Speak on this resolution only. Yes, Mrs. Summers.
I want to salute you for thinking outside the box. This is a really clever way to go and to save money. But I think since each of them knows that there are two other companies on contract, I think that's going to help keep everybody very honest and working their best. Thank you. I think this is a very clever way to go.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Cho?
My name is David Shope, and I recall that you already had passed a resolution hiring Ziggy. What happened to it?
Would you like me to address that?
Yes, please.
Yes, we currently have a contract with Ziggy Spatial. It runs through the end of the calendar year. We will not overlap these contracts. We will either complete that existing contract before we enter into the new one, or we will cancel the existing contract and then enter into the new one. So the other contract will be terminated before we enter into a new contract.
I also recall that you, Mr. Chairman, described Ziggy as a former employee who while he was working here, developed many procedures on the state's time for developing these maps, this work product. It's on the tape, we can look it up. If this is in fact the case, I think Ziggy should be disqualified or the state should be reimbursed for the work product that he developed on the state's time for this work. That's my comment. Do with it what you will.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Yes. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Harold Danielson. And what I was going to ask is, because of the complexities of the programs, the way they're going, it is very important to have these programs be able to interface with the same program and version be used by the supposed vendors as you are using now.
In most cases, yes. I cannot answer absolutely, but in the majority of cases, yes, that is the case.
All right. And I'm assuming it's something like a program like ArcView or one of the others.
Yes, it's ArcView. Yes.
Right. And then what version of ArcView, because these things change so quickly. They really do. And to ascertain the compatibility is very important as well.
Yes. The most current version is the one we utilize.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, any further discussion by the council? Please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Darity.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Richko.
Yes. I think that Councilmember James has to leave now, right?
Yeah, I have to recuse myself on the next issue, so goodbye for now. I'll see you later.
Okay, thank you. All right, our second resolution, Councilmember Holtaway.
A request for proposals was issued by the council for the development of interactive environmental resource inventory. The committee is recommending that the council award a contract to T&M Associates for the project. And once again, we have a nice presentation. Thanks, James.
Thank you. So an environmental resource inventory, or an ERI, is an important municipal or county tool that documents all of the environmental resources present in the municipality or county. It's used as a fundamental planning basis for the development of land use ordinances, master plans. It's used for project reviews and many more things by both the environmental commissions of towns, but also by planning boards, boards of adjustment, and it's used by ourselves to support the development of our Highlands land use ordinance and master plan amendments and all of the ongoing work. So the current way you develop an ERI is it's all done on paper. Even if the data is developed through ArcView or GIS systems, it ultimately is a paper document. This is the ERI for Mount Olive. It's approximately about the same size as our, maybe a little smaller than our RFP. This was done in 2006, and it documents on paper all of the individual environmental resources in a town. This costs quite a bit of money. It's done at one point. It's generally, in best case scenarios, done about once every 10 years in a town. Lots of towns never update them because they're subject to the availability of grant funding. So they're costly to develop, they're time consuming to develop, and as soon as you put it on paper, the information you develop is out of date. You know, by the time you print this out even, the data that was used these days is gone and is out of date. So the solution we came up with is to develop an interactive ERI, kind of in the same vein of you've seen with our interactive map, but much more involved and much more intensive. So we issued an RFP for an interactive ERI. And as you can see on this graphic, so the current model of an ERI is it's a point in time, it's a static document, it sits, I don't want to say it sits on a shelf because it does get used, but it sits on a shelf. So it's labor intensive to develop. And you know, the author, whoever's writing it, has to go gather this data itself. So if I'm hiring a consultant, it's not like the consultant has all that data. They have to go out and find it. It's generally a printed document, either printed electronically or on paper, and it's on their website, or it's on the clerk's office, or the planning board's office. It's only for the geographic area it's done for. So if it's done for a municipality, the data's only for that scale. So if I want to know how many streams are in a town, it's only going to tell me that information. And again, it costs a lot of money, and you can only, you know, generally you do it at most every 10 years. So the interactive ERI is going to be all computer-based. It's going to be instantaneously updated. So it's always going to be current. It's going to link directly to the data from its source. So if, for example, the DEP updates its streams data, this will instantly stream that new data into it. It's going to develop a printed document that's always up to date. So if you want to see the paper, you know, this written ERI, it's going to produce that for you, but it's going to have links in it, so it pulls that data instantly. So if I look at it 2 years ago and it has 10 miles of streams, well, maybe that changed and now there's 10.3 miles of streams because they've remapped it and it's more accurate. The document is always going to know that. Not only that, but I can click on it and tell it I want to look at the town, oh, I want to look at the county, I want to look at the region, I want to look at the watershed, I want to look at my parcel, I want to look at my block, I want to look at three parcels because that's what I'm developing or that's what the developer's building on, so let me see that. And it's a one-time investment. We're not updating it every year. This application is automatically going to pull the data. The only thing that's needed is maintenance for somebody to go in. And if a link breaks, they need to fix it. Nobody's in there every day or every minute or every hour updating the data, right? It's just automatically recalculating it by itself. So this has an incredible ability to provide time-sensitive information to everybody in the region, be it, it's a public document. It's open for the public. It's open for the council. It's open for, you know, interested parties, the municipality, the county, the environmental commission, the property owner, everybody has access equally to this information, and everybody knows it's currently up to date. So we put out an RFP that basically set these parameters, and we received 5 proposals. We interviewed every single one because it was such a complex project. and everybody kind of had different avenues of attack on the project. After meeting with all of them, we recommend that T&M Associates be awarded the contract. They've done similar work that uses real-time data in the calculation of environmental resources specifically related to hurricane events, and it processes on the fly. It's important to say this all processes on the fly. It's not being calculated behind the scenes. This is all done, you know, up to date. So this would include the maintenance of the project, because first of all, we have to pay to host it. This is all hosted in the cloud. It's all hosted in their proposal on, by Amazon Web Services through the virtual servers. So there's never any a physical component. There's not a physical component here. We don't have to worry about security. We don't have to worry about bandwidth. This is entirely scalable. So if you have 10 users or 10,000 users, it can instantly address that. There's no way possible to do that with anything we could develop in. So the proposal award is for $274,633, which includes 2 years of maintenance. After the 2 years of maintenance, it will require ongoing hosting and maintenance beyond the contract. And during the meeting with the Budget and Finance Committee, we discussed this, and really anything we do in this regard requires ongoing maintenance and hosting, whether it be paying to Amazon to host it, whether it being paid to for the bandwidth here, like the internet access, plus the maintenance of Windows, the maintenance of ArcView server, the maintenance of the actual hardware, which requires replacement. And we put a two-year limit on it because we wanted to make this application completely portable, which means we want the ability to say, if we're not satisfied with T&M's hosting, if they've increased the cost of the hosting, we can then take this application and put it somewhere else ourselves, and not, so we can basically address any increased hosting costs by going out to bid again in the future if we need to. So I think in the end, this could provide a great service for every municipality. Again, this is not conforming, non-conforming, it's just information for in the environment, to improve the environment. And it's important to note too that every town and county in the region is going to have its own web page. So if you go to this, you're not going to be at a generic ERI web page, you're going to be at Chester Township's ERI. It's going to focus right in on the town, it'll look like Chester Township's ERI, so it'll all be customized. So, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
This is a voting matter, public comment. We do need a motion and a second.
I'll move it. Second.
Moved by Councilmember Holtaway, seconded by Councilmember Daugherty. Any questions or comments from the council, Councilmember Daugherty?
Just a couple. As you went through the proposals, I'm looking at the cost, the different cost proposals. Can you just tell me why you picked T&M versus the other, some of them were lower, and obviously one that was quite a bit higher.
Right, so I'll address the one that was quite a bit higher. A lot of that was in how they had to maintain it. They had to hire full-time staff members to maintain it, so just because they didn't have the capacity to maintain it themselves. And that basically just wrote, you know, that was just too much money. So the ones that were less, one that just didn't have the staff capacity. They're part-time employees, and we didn't feel they had the capacity to take on this large of a project. We selected T&M because really they've clearly understood what we're asking for. They're the only one that came in and said, oh, you're looking for an ERI, we can link the data to a document. None of the other ones, they were all basically still in the frame of the interactive map, which provides you bits and pieces information, but nobody did the global. Kind of the global view of the ERI, except them. And then they also were the only ones that really wanted to do outreach to the end users. None of the others really recognized that the end user's experience and the end user's need is integral to the development of it. If you develop something without having the end user's input, you might end up with something that wasn't worth spending money on. So those were two of the principal reasons. And the third was they also have not only the capacity through their size of their firm, but they've done something very similar as well for the state that we received good references on. So based on that, we were more comfortable recommending this vendor, even though the cost of the proposal was higher.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Well, I would call this the best thing since sliced bread. Julie, if that last one excited you, this one should be dizzy.
I haven't seen James as excited about anything ever.
Yeah. I have to tell you, when they brought this to the committee, I was just like, wow, what a fantastic idea, and I'm glad the brain that thought of it up is in this building. And Mr. Shope, you should be very happy. What we're going to do is we're going to put a lot of planners out of business. All those guys from those 88 municipalities, they get paid to do these things and print them up every couple of years. Done.
What about the rest of the state?
Well, let me just finish one more comment on that. You know, we've all seen things go downtown and the DEP handling of a lot of things we deal with. I think this is something that they may come and ask for later. It would be good for the rest of the state.
Absolutely.
It would be, you know, a benefit to everybody, and I think this would be an excellent going forward project as a demonstration, and here we are, we're capturing 88 municipalities in it, and we're probably going to get a return of $5 to $10. We're going to save the taxpayers $5 to $10 for every dollar being spent on this, if not more, because I know when I was a mayor and we had have these environmental resource inventory, first off, nobody wanted to do it, and the ones that would do it wanted a fortune. So, you know, this is going to take such a burden off the municipalities of trying to keep these and maintain them and operate them. I'm thrilled.
Chairman, I've got a question.
Yes.
Two.
Council Member Dressler.
Two questions, actually. One, are there any grants that are available for this purpose?
No.
Okay, second of all, was there any consideration as to doing shared services with the municipalities who would be, for lack of a better term, getting a bargain from us?
No, we did not look into that. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, what we do now is we pay for these through our plan conformance budget.
Right.
So really what we're doing is we're swapping the cost from plan conformance to basically paying for it straight out of our budget, but overall, as Mr. Holtway says, reducing our overall costs.
Is it something we should be looking at?
You know, I think although it's a fairly substantial number, when you start to try and cost share something like this across 88 municipalities, I think just the number of the administrative burden there becomes so extreme, I don't know it would be possible to work with this at that level.
Any other comments from the council?
Yes.
So, have you used an interactive system like this?
Yeah, well, I used TNMs that they prepared for a DCA. Yes, it's different, but it's similar in how it operates, basically calculating data on the fly, yes.
So, for the public, will there be training needed, or is it pretty intuitive?
No, the plan is to make it completely intuitive. Obviously, with additional training, you'll be able to get additional information out of it, but the plan is to make it at its most fundamental level very intuitive in that you click a button, it's going to make you an ERI. And the same thing if you want to look at a parcel. Now, as you will probably build in much higher and higher level reporting functions, that will require some kind of training that we'll work on to develop training mechanisms for, but fundamental level, if somebody wants an ERI, they're just going to click a button for Chester Township and get an ERI.
But I think it's important also to go back to one of James's points, that this is going to include a stakeholder outreach provision prior to the development of this. So I think that will be another good way to capture what the municipality's needs are and how they can best use this as this is developed.
Right, I saw the stakeholder outreach in there, and I didn't see training specifically, but like compared to what's the way we use the website now, would you say it's more intuitive, easier?
We would like to make it much more intuitive, much faster, much easier to operate. I think it'll be a huge leap ahead of what we have now.
And those will be goals, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions or comments?
Just one comment.
Yes,
Chairman. I had the pleasure of working with TNM for a number of years. They're a very, very thorough firm, and they were fantastic in the planning side. So I think you picked a good choice. Thank you. That's it.
Any comments from the public on this resolution?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, Clark. I got two things. The ADA share on that would probably be about $3,000 for each town. Does that make sense? I think that's a great idea. The other thing is, who punches in the data?
Nobody.
Well, then we shouldn't have it.
No, the data is in file. For example, the DEP produces a map of streams.
Understand.
So somebody at DEP is putting that data in. Maybe that's the answer. Somebody at DEP is putting the data in. We're just simply pulling that data as needed.
That seems like awful expensive, just to pull something that somebody else already did.
You're just copying it.
Yeah, you're just copying it.
For almost $300,000.
Yeah, but the next day, if they change it, you get all the fresh data.
Who's changing it? Like you said, the stream. The stream stays the same.
No, they don't.
They don't?
They regularly remap them based on...
Well, how about Spruce Run? Does that stay the same?
Again, if they just flew the state for increased topography data. So when they do that, they'll remap streams, remap lakes and reservoirs, so that information will get updated. So in the case of this, as soon as it's updated to everybody in the region.
Question for you. Are reservoirs taxed?
I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out the $300,000.
I don't think this has anything to do with the resolution. Why don't you ask that during the open?
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll try it.
Thanks.
There.
Thanks, Hank. Okay. Yes.
Good afternoon. Zach Cole from New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I had a quick question for James. As someone who uses the interactive map on the Highlands Council website frequently, I'm just curious to know at the parcel level how the ERI data will differ from that which is reported. Otherwise, I think this will be a tremendous tool for people like myself who draw on this data frequently. Thank you.
Ultimately, it probably will replace the interactive map and will provide a lot more data that's from a lot more sources. But until we actually get into the development of it with the consultant, we don't know for sure.
Any other comments? Mrs. Summers?
Yeah.
So we, Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, so we've talked about what an incredible gift this is to the communities of the Highlands, and it certainly is, and it's a gift to anybody who cares about protecting the environment. We haven't talked about all the people who are going to be able to use this to make their living, the development community, the engineering community. Is there any way to monetize that? Perhaps everything should have a stamp on it that says New Jersey Highlands, absolutely anything on it, so that we know where the data is going. So we know when it's being used by other people in their product.
Thank you. Mr. Schultz?
On this resolution, first of all, I want to know, how do you guarantee the veracity of data that is input by who knows where? But this is the data that you will be using to, quote, update constantly and probably perpetually the impacts of this resolution. I see no checks. I see no balances. I see nothing to prevent you from seeing a proliferation of bog turtles, spotted owls, the occasional T-Rex, and whatever else may affect the development of land in the Highlands area. I see nothing at all. And I would suggest that one of the things you should study is what happened to the concept of landowner equity. I would also suggest that I furnished you this information. It's available to anyone. It's collected every 5 years by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Ag viability. See where that fits in here. And when you talk about the nature of the information, the, it's constantly changing. Well, here we go again. We have people typing away, seeing all kinds of things in their backyards, the occasional carrier pigeon and whatever else. And it will, to quote you, quickly become obsolete, which means this goes on in perpetuity. Whereas our land equity is frozen in time. That does not go on for perpetuity. The only thing that goes on in perpetuity is the fact that it's in the deep freeze and the dollar continues to devalue. That's it. Wasn't this work already done? What have you been doing for 15 years? Smith promised us, well, he didn't really, when you parse his words, he really didn't say anything. It's just jive talk. So what are you doing to in this particular resolution, to go to the festering issue of landowner equity? I see nothing. I see increased expense and a possible sighting of all kinds of critters that will further diminish the value of our land and hence its usefulness. I'm against this resolution. It's just throwing money down a rat hole, which seems to be the function of this council for 15 years.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Yes, gentleman in the back. Well, the gentleman in the back. Come on up.
Back? Yeah. Nick Komiak from Persephone. What about a municipality that isn't in conformance but is in the highlands? Would this still, the CRI, act as a supremacy clause to prevent an overscale development at a planning board? If a developer objects, can a developer object to this information being presented in a Highlands community that is not in conformance and be sustained the objection?
Is that your only question? Do you have anything else to say?
No, and I think it's a great thing other than that.
Okay, you can sit down, we'll have James.
So this is not regulatory in any way, it's information. How the municipality uses that information is up to the municipality or the individual. It's not, it may lead to regulations, but in and of itself, it doesn't regulate, it just provides information that's available to conforming, non-conforming, to anybody, to the general public.
Thank you.
Chairman.
Mrs. Fry?
Yeah. Well, Fry, I guess I have sort of a question, which is in an odd way similar to Mr. Shope's concern or question. Is the information coming only from the DEP, or is it coming from municipal permit applications that show up? I guess what I'm kind of thinking about is like wetlands. Wetlands are occasionally filled illegally, and to what extent would this record, like if somebody from the town goes out and says, yeah, that's no wetland there, and they say, they send the information in, and they say, well, this wetland that's on your map, there's no wetland there. And they have no historic knowledge of what actually was there, but there was a wetland, but somebody filled it, and now it's a lawn. Is there, I'm not sure, like, who is, verifying the information? You know, is it only DEP, or are municipalities providing input?
I don't want to have a discussion. We're going to stop this between the speaker and the staff. So when someone finishes, you're finished, right? Okay, then James, you can answer that. Thank you.
So the idea is to go to the original data source. So, for example, wetlands data is initially developed by DEP. They create a data layer. They map it on a statewide scale, and that's what's used in our interactive map now, what's used in all of the interactive map products. That's done by DEP. There's metadata, which is basically the description of how the data is developed attached to that data. We'll include in the interactive map all of the original data sources referencing where it came from, what the date is, the metadata that's attached. What was being referred to is a case where there's a site-specific change. So that site-specific change would need to be logged with the DEP. Just like now, the DEP doesn't update its wetlands layer every time somebody develops a property. It's updated on a regular basis where they take that information and then put it into a new layer. So it really depends on the original data source, but we're going to refer to all those original data sources with proper references so the end user can then validate the usability of that data. We're not going to independently verify whether the wetlands are not on a property, but we are going to provide the end user with the information so they can know whether it's information they can use for the purpose they have.
Thank you. Anyone have that? Council Member Dressler?
Who will have the ability to input information into the system?
So we're inputting what information goes into the system. The system itself is going to go out, once we have established that that information source is proper and verifiable, the system itself is going to always go and look for that information to see it's been updated. And it'll, so for the sake for streams again, once we verify that the data source is the proper data source, then we know that every time it goes out, it's going to just be checking to make sure that's the most current data source.
So a group that has a particular axe to grind won't be able to access this to input information?
No, absolutely not. It'll all be, once it's established and the framework's established, it'll all be automated. The only maintenance we'll have to do is if that original data source becomes unverifiable or becomes no longer available, in which case then we'll have to correct the link that accesses it.
Any other comments from the public? Mr. Danielson?
Yes, you're speaking about data input, and granted, a lot of data can be input by flyovers, as we say, but there's a lot of data that cannot be input that way, and it requires boots on the ground. Yet I don't see any evidence of any boots on the ground for, say, tree species, animal species, whatever. I don't see any of these studies by the DEP or anyone else. It's simply aerial, and you cannot run an effective study aerially. Is this being addressed?
Are you finished with your question? You're finished with your comment?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, if you sit down, then we'll have the staff speak
on
this.
So first, the information in the ERI does provide a lot of that more detailed information, for example, like critical habitat. It does contain the species. I mean, there are limitations with ERI data. That's the nature of an ERI. It's done at a scale where you're not doing project-level analysis. You're not walking every site in the municipality for an ERI. That's not its intent. Its intent is to provide a larger scale environmental resource inventory that will then help to guide a site-specific development to know what you need to look for or should be aware of. I mean, that's its purpose, or one of its purposes. So it doesn't negate the need for field checking things, but it provides information to know when you would or may need to field check.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Yes?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tim Krause in Hunterdon County. It sounds like this information, it's a great way to compile all the information so people can understand it. This is not by any means going to be the end rule, and this is what everyone believes. So if someone comes in and can prove or say, hey, listen, we have this is wetlands, and they show proof, and they should not have to go beyond any great means to show proof. This is not the, you know, the 100% guideline or, you know, operating procedure. It will be able to be proven differently without much effort.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly right. That's similar to the answer to Mr. Danielson. Again, it's not intended to replace field verification. It's a tool to know what maybe when you need to field verify. So yes, certainly, and again, the Highlands Council isn't using this to regulate in any which way. It's just providing information to municipalities. And then should the municipality use that information, that's fine. But again, it doesn't negate the need to field verify, like you're saying.
Okay, anyone else like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, any council questions or comments before we vote? Okay, seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
I love the concept. I think it's a great idea. However, my concern is that we should go to the municipalities and see if we can do shared services. And because of that, I'm voting no.
Councilmember Francis.
Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yeah.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richco.
Yes. James, thank you for your work on this. Any old or new business? Any council members have any old or new business to discuss?
I have a couple of things, Chairman.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about this council over the past couple of months. And every day, water becomes a more precious commodity. And I want to make two requests to the council. Number one, I'd like our attorney to, and we've had discussions that have gone back and forth over the last couple of months, I'd like our attorney to put together a very simple, plain English position as to what our responsibilities are, what we can do, and what we cannot do. We've had some situations come up where, you know, there's been question as to whether we're overstepping our responsibility as per the Act. And I'd like to find out what we can advocate for, what we can't advocate for. And, you know, can we move in one direction? Can we, very strong in sending information to Trenton, what we think should be doing, things of that nature. I'd like to find out what our parameters are, what we absolutely can do, what we absolutely can't do. And I think we should, if we have the ability, if we've got the flexibility, I think there are a lot of things that we should be aggressive on, because this is a very, very precious commodity. And 10 years from now, it's going to be make or break in the state. We have an opportunity to do great things with this council, and I want to make sure that if we have the opportunity, we do that. The second thing, I would like to try and get together a special meeting at some point with the legislators in the Highlands region and sit down with them and impress upon them, you know, our request that they push what we sent to the legislature a couple of years ago with regard to reimbursement for the property owners. It sits down there, it languishes, we sent it, and nothing's been done by the legislature. And I think that we should impress upon them who have a vested interest in this area to push for that. It's overdue, and I'd like to put their feet to the fire a little bit and say, look, this is your area, this is our area, and there are people that are being harmed, and what can we do about it?
Are you talking about the water use, I wouldn't say tax, water use?
Yes.
Usage? I don't want to say tax.
Fee.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Right, we certainly can discuss that. I'll discuss it with our executive director and our attorney, and we'll get back to you on that.
I mean, we hear people get up every month and talk about, you know, being harmed. And we really have done as much as we can do at this point. And I think that the responsibility, you know, for that is with the legislature. We should find out from the members of the legislature up here what they're doing, why they're not doing it, and, you know, can they do it?
Okay, good. Thank you. Anyone else finish with your...
Yeah.
Anyone else on council have any old or new business?
Yes. I think, Mike, you make excellent points. I think the one thing that we were advised on many years ago is we walk a very perilous line that I'm sure our council will advise us, and that we are part of the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And because of separation of powers, there's a limit to the degree of lobbying that we can do. We can,
right.
You know, offering a letter of opinion is one thing, actively as a council visiting with legislatures and advancing a particular position, we were previously advised that was a no-no.
that we can't lobby because we're part of the executive branch.
I think, Kurt, that it's an offshoot of the recommendation that we sent down to Trent. You know, we're not doing anything, you know, differently than what we did 2 years ago. We're just asking them to, you know, take it under consideration and voice our displeasure that nothing's been done so far. I mean, you know, we worked very hard with that committee to get that document down to Trent. We worked several months, we worked, you know, several times a month, and to no avail.
I think individually, we're free to do whatever we want. I think that it gets complicated when we want to lobby as a body. I would imagine even government authorities unit will probably have something to say about whether we can actively lobby the legislature.
But is there
I'm not trying to dampen it, but
is
we
anything
this
different
years ago
than what we did 2 years ago. We sent that down, you know, 2 years ago doing the exact same thing. We're not doing anything different.
You want to resend it?
I'd like the legislators to come in a meeting and, you know, discuss the matter.
Discuss the resolution, I guess.
Yeah. What's being done with it? An informational session, shall we call it?
No. All you need is Sweeney and the Speaker of the Assembly to come on board, and it'll happen, right?
I mean, that's you get the legislators up here pushing it, you know.
I think Executive Director Levin wants to say something.
I'd like to have an opportunity to look into what is and is not permissible and report back to the council. Because yes. I think we need a little clarity on that before we can.
Well, that's why they went hand in hand.
We always have a fine line, and with a couple of years ago, like you said, 2 years ago, we did vote to send this to the legislature. Yes, and nothing really happened with it, and so we'll continue. We'll look into it and see what we can do.
I do imagine there are some restrictions, obviously, on what we can and can't do as an agency. So give us an opportunity.
I'm sure there are, Lisa, but in my mind, we're not doing anything different than what we did 2 years ago. We're just asking them, we sent this down, what's happening with it?
All right.
Any other council members?
I can help a little bit with you on that. Talking to legislature is on its best day challenging, to say the least. I spent today with Senator Sweeney, Senator Rojo, Senator Panuccio on the lake. We can't even get them to take care of the largest lake in the state of New Jersey, let alone. Seek some guidance, if you will, from them, and I think that's how you're trying to frame it.
Yes.
As to the direction that they would like to go in with our recommendation. I'm trying to be kind to them, and so it's on its best day. It's extremely frustrating. You will not and cannot get them to commit. You won't. You can get some of their opinion if it's worth their while.
Right.
And it was no easy task to bring them up here. We had a meeting last week with our legislative branch, with the Lake Foundation and the Lake Commission.
Right.
So I can tell you as a mayor that getting them to even recognize the fact that you're dealing with an issue that's for the greater good is not always the easiest thing to do. So although your point's well taken, I think that it might be an exercise in futility.
Yeah. Mike, at this point, I'm willing to take that chance. I think that you've got a better chance of getting the local legislators up here because they have a vested interest in Sweeney and maybe trying to start a groundswell. Wayne Gretzky once said, 100% of the shots you don't take don't go in.
Well, we've been doing that. And they've been playing. They've been coming to the meeting, but still today, nothing is done.
No.
Council Member Walton. Olstead had one more issue or one more item.
Just switching gears, and I think we covered this a long time ago, but for the benefit of everybody on council, a municipality conforms. This municipality has both preservation and planning area. This municipality chooses to opt in its planning area to receive preservation area protections. There was great incentive to do this years ago when there was a hope that COA compliance through our memorandum of understanding would be satisfied through opting in with everything.
Correct.
So years pass, COA changes, there's no benefit, the memorandum of understanding's gone. What is the procedure, if a or is there a procedure, or can it be done? Can a municipality withdraw compliance for the planning area? And what does that look like, and does it require council approval? Just to refresh us all a little bit. I'm hearing scuttlebutt.
So it's happened before. What happens is they just have to repeal any of the ordinances that they adopted, including the planning area petition ordinance, and that's it. I mean, we've had towns open, for example, that had petitioned for the planning area, came before you for the planning area, but ultimately decided to withdraw from the planning area because they had wastewater management planning issues they believed would be hindered incorrectly by planning area conformance, but they simply just unpetitioned. They rescinded their planning area petition ordinance and any ordinances they adopted, and that was it. There's, you know, the new plan conformance procedures even say that if they have expended money and completed those projects, they don't have to pay the money back to the council. So that's it, really. There's no
action
necessary.
There was this urban myth floating around that if you rescinded, you had to pay money back. It was incorrect, and we've clarified that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm asking, so that we all have clarity on what can happen, how it happens, and basically it's a pretty simple process, and they can do some or all of the planning area. They don't have to withdraw entirely, correct?
No, they would have to withdraw entirely from
entirely,
the planning.
So it's all or nothing.
And of course, it's great benefit to conforming in the planning area because of all the grants we provide and other assistance, so I don't know why they would really want to.
But if a municipality has preservation area as well, that they're conforming with, they'd still be eligible for the grants. The grant just couldn't be utilized, presumably, in the area of the planning area?
No, the grants can cover areas of the planning area as well.
Right, so then that begs the question, you know, why keep planning area opted in if you still have preservation area and you're still eligible for grants, right?
Well, again, there are enhanced protections provided if a municipality is looking for that in the planning area. So there's a multitude of reasons why they may want to petition for the planning, or it could be 100% planning area where they're not eligible for those benefits until they conform.
My town of Parsippany had voted to conform, then rescinded, and then about several months ago voted again to reconform, if that's the word. So we have a situation where, you know, they bounced back a little bit, back and forth, but.
So if they apply to reconform, so if there is an example where they voluntarily rescind because they want to enhance sewer system, right? They update the sewer system and then conform with the changed sewer system?
They voted to rescind. Mary Jo, do you remember roughly when that was?
2014.
Okay. And about 6 months ago voted to come back into conformance with the regional master plan. So there was a significant gap.
So is there anything that, are we getting used in any way when that happens? I mean, are we being gained?
In the case of Parsippany, they never actually formalized the process. They never actually went through the entire conformance process. So they rescinded during the petition process. They didn't rescind after. I don't know that we've ever had a municipality go through the entire process, go out of the planning area and come back. I mean, that's not happening yet.
But if you have totally left.
Well, they were in
right.
But they didn't finish the process.
Yeah, Parsippany was in the middle of the process.
But you said there were a couple other municipalities that have withdrawn their planning areas?
Yes, but they haven't come back again.
But they were.
Right, Parsippany is the only one.
No, they weren't entirely in. They were still. You didn't have any planning, any towns that had planning area that were totally done with the process and then withdrew.
Yes, we have.
You did.
Okay, we did. That's what I'm but doing. We haven't had them resubmit again.
Okay.
Right. Parsippany is the only one that has resubmitted. Yeah.
Okay. Council Member Daugherty.
I just want to just end my comments with, I saw the executive director last night at Mimi Lutz's, Mayor Lutz's wake. I also want the council to know that Senator Bucco passed away as he represented the 25th district, which thousands. And it was a servant for the public for 40 years, and just remember him and his family. He was a city senator who passed away the other day.
Thank you. Any other council members?
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I have to leave for a meeting at 5:15, so I apologize. I have to leave early.
You're already 2 minutes late. So
I know.
Thank you.
Sorry.
All right, seeing no other comments from the council, we'll open up to public comments. Mrs. Summers.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Since I was last here, we have spent a lot of time at the New Jersey Highlands Coalition talking about harmful algal blooms. And of course preparing for these next two forums, which will be similar to the one that we had in Sparta at Lake Mohawk with the same presenters. But we've talked to a lot of people about HAVs since then, and in fact spent quite a lot of time this morning. Senator Sweeney's name has been coming up quite a lot. However, HAVs are not solely located in the Highlands. There have been 18 confirmed HAVs across New Jersey, at least. And I believe that the senator may be looking at way more than just the Highlands, or way more than just Lake Apacom. And I think that any kind of solution that, if they come up with something, will probably be a statewide solution, because the likelihood is that this is going to happen again. Because one of the major causes of the algal blooms this year was increased rain and increased heat. And you know, if you believe that climate change is here to stay, the likelihood is that this will not be the only time that this happens. And so this is going to be a complex and ongoing issue, how we address HAB in the future across the state. I just wanted to add that. Also, as far as the economic development planning, which we really welcome, if there is any way that the meetings with the advisors that are involved can be open to the public to listen to what is being discussed, that would be just great. I just wanted to add on Persephone's re-entering conformance. I think the New Jersey Highlands Coalition takes some credit for that. We were able to play the meeting at which Persephone was persuaded to leave the for wastewater planning reasons, to withdraw, to rescind its preservation area, its planning area conformance. And we were able to counter every single point that was used to persuade Persephone to rescind its as being incorrect. There have been a lot of myths shared with people about conformance, and we were pleased to be able to do that. And upon that, in fact, one of the people who voted against it said, "Now that I understand exactly what was going on, I am changing my vote and supporting Persephone's rejoining the conformance process, which, as you said, had not been completed." Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Mr. Klump.
Thanks for letting me speak here today. I appreciate this. My name is Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area, not by choice. I understand that Governor Murphy has nominated 3 new council members to fill the vacant seats on the Highlands Council. Jeff Tittle can be quoted as saying that they got rid of those with anti-Highlands agenda. And now we start the work towards building a council that is more balanced, whose priorities to go forward protecting the Highlands, that can make up for the lost time. Lost time? Come on, I've been here for 15 years. I have been standing here that long. The environment advocates are praising the nominees. Of course they are. The environments have never cared about anyone who has paid the ultimate price for the flawed Highlands Act. by having property values stolen, leaving us with lost equity. Anyone who dares to understand how unfair the Fraud Highlands Act has been towards property owners who were promised compensation for property values lost are automatically accused of anti-Highlands agenda by the environmentalists who cannot wrap their brains around what is fair and go back to the promise made in 204 that stated that no one would get hurt by the Highlands Act. Unless it happens to you, you do not know the hurt people are facing by losing property values and equity. Perhaps the three new council members, if approved, will risk being accused of anti-Highlands agenda and will try to make and help honor promises. That has been broken. It will be a matter to the new members that many boundary lines were decided by politicians and not by scientific study. I have been searching for 15 years for the written scientific study that put my property in the preservation area. No one can find it. Jeff Tittle opposed Governor Christie's appointee, saying they have anti-Highlands agenda. However, they have good sense to know what is right and what is wrong. Feel landowners' pain and know that the Highlands Act has major problems. They need to be fixed, so he could not wait to get rid of them. On the 15th anniversary, Till wants to find a new funding source to prep the programs in the Highlands Act. How about finding the funding source to compensate people who can no longer rely on property values and equity? It has been said the Highlands Act is actually an unfunded mandate with a lack of compensation for living under it.
Hank, please conclude.
Okay. There is no money to fulfill the requirements. If people are expected to be the stewards of the land, pay them for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who else would like to address the council? Mr. Safford.
George Stafford, Borough Warden, Highlands Coalition. We were talking before about conformance, coming out of conformance, going back. There's a former mayor and an attorney friend of mine who said to me recently that every town in the state of New Jersey, and there's a lot of them, is one election away from being stupid. You're going to get changes like this. You're going to get people who come in on an issue, on a local issue, and they're going to shift everything over. You're going to have people coming in the other side of the issue, and it's proof that it's going to go back. So one of the things that I picked up recently, geography of risk, and this has to do with what the state has been doing, and this is primarily about Long Beach Island, but it's very similar. There's a line in here that says, the state was beginning to take a more active role in environmental issues. This is the early 1970s. It frowned on the idea of following thousands of additional septic systems so close to Barnegat Bay, and the bay is already stressed with lagoon development and barrier islands. So on fertilizer waste and runoff were leaching into the water and sending off algae blooms and fish kills. I had hair when that was written. I was just out of college when that was written. And we're going through this again. And it's only going to get worse. We have to address that stuff. You know, it's the water protection. What's our record on water protection? You know, we have algae blooms in the lakes. We're sending dirty water to the cities, and it's eroding the lead in their water distribution systems, and people are ending up with lead in their bodies. What's our record with that? The other thing is, the planning, we had planning, that's what they called for in the early 1970s, and Sandy came along and it was taken as an opportunity to build new real estate. We got rid of these old small houses, let's put up, you know, million-dollar mansions. We got planning here, we got lots of representation as far as planning is concerned. We want to do planning, and we really don't get planning done. So we have a little bit of a disagreement on whether the act is working or not. And I think we're spinning our wheels. So I think we have to go from that and realize that if we come up, we don't have algae blooms next year, well, no problem, let's just go back, you know? Let's get throw the boats in the water and get the kids swimming. That happened at the shore and it's been a disaster. It's another disaster waiting to happen. We shouldn't have a disaster like that here. Thank you.
Thank you. Who wrote that book? George?
The author?
George, who's the author?
Gilbert Gall.
Who?
Gilbert Gall.
Chairman,
yes, I'll show you after.
Yes, please.
George, you're right that people, you know, change and have ideas and governments and municipalities change. You also get people that will play you. And they'll opt out and then they'll do what they want to do and then they'll opt back in to get the benefits again. So you got to be careful of that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Mr. Show.
My name is David Shope, and there's another town that opted in and then opted out, and that's Washington Township, Warren County. And they left in the middle of having their experts, their planners, and so forth, do the work that was necessary to opt into the Highlands Master Plan and the preservation and the planning area. And then when they passed a resolution to opt out, We had the professionals, the planners, et cetera, who had racked up a substantial bill in doing this work and then wondered who was going to pay them. The township said, not us. The Highlands Council said, not us. And the last time I asked about this, a member of the planning board, they said, I don't think the issue has been resolved yet. So just be careful with these glib answers. This whole thing started back when somebody commissioned the North Jersey District Water Supply Commission to do a study on what it would cost if they didn't do something about the Highlands as a region. In terms of water treatment costs, they came up with $4 billion by 2050 if they didn't do something about the Highlands. That is to say, basically freeze it in time. And nobody has come up with a copy of this report. We have petitioned everybody, including the North Jersey District Water Supply Commission, the DEP and everybody else, and Senator Orho, at our request, put his dogs on the trail and got nothing. He got a letter from DEP saying the report does not exist. The original basis for this Highlands Act was a fraud. And then when Smith said it in 2004, words to the effect that he and the governor, which was McGreevy at the time, were working on a plan to reimburse the Highlands landowners. That too proved to be a fraud. That has gone nowhere. So it is no surprise that this council and its good offices has attempted to address this problem and gotten nowhere. When you parse Senator Smith's words, he talks jive. He promises nothing and has delivered nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Mr. Danielson? I'm sorry, I didn't see.
Oh, Dan.
You guys want to do a duet or what?
Actually, as you may know, I'm from Massachusetts. I own property in Hunterdon County, but I'm residing in Massachusetts. Now, Boston, Mass, had a water problem. I would say even more severe than yours. What was happening there was that they were going to have to build another reservoir because the amount of water that the reservoir, which is called the Quabbin Reservoir, produced was marginally not enough. So they got together with the engineers and foresters, and they came up with a plan. The plan was, with the input of the foresters, selective cutting around the reservoirs and the watershed. The result was an astronomical increase in the water supply, to the effect that they did not need to build another reservoir. I think that we should have looked at that first. It would have been far more cost effective than what we're doing now. And the amount of money saved would be tremendous. Because the Highlands area, according to the United States Geological Survey, the aquifers in this area happen to be some of the worst in the state. The biggest aquifer is the Kwasi, Mahogany, Kwasi aquifer, which runs right through Trenton and right out to the state near Sevierville. And that has been misused to a tremendous degree, to the fact that there is saltwater encroachment now. But that is not even addressed. It just so happens that we're addressed up here in the Highlands. Had we performed the selective cutting in that to increase the water supply to these reservoirs, I don't think that we would need the Highlands Council or staff. But the amount of money that's being spent there for studies and everything else is quite a bit. And I'm sure the taxpayers should like to know this. But also, when it comes to sustainability for businesses in the area, there are businesses here that want to expand and cannot expand because of the Highlands Act. Now, you're looking for sustainability, but there's businesses here, and they can't expand, as I had said, and no businesses will move in into an area like this. They're moving out, primarily to Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council?
Nicholas Homiak from Persephone. I think the American Indians would not appreciate some of these things, because they never had ideas about property, and they instinctively knew that nature already does most of the work for you. And the ecosystem services of the Highlands is one of the most noblest agencies, I think, in the state of New Jersey. Bad land use, you get bad water, and it's going to cost you somewhere down the line. And this anti-government thing that started with Reagan, government is the solution, it's not the problem. And nature supports life. You don't support nature, dirty water, it's going to cost you money. Anyway, in Pyramid Mountain lately, last year, a team showed up to treat the easements, the power tower easements. They had this big gang of mostly guys from Central America, and they were going around with the tanks on their back. When I asked them what chemical they were using, I was told that they didn't know, or they weren't allowed to tell me. This year, in the easements, it's obvious that the wildflower blooms, even with all this rain and everything. They're not as to the magnitude that they should be. So I'm concerned, number one, there was no transparency. Are they using Roundup, even though it's an industry approved and scientifically probably paid by the industry for the result of the herbicides? But they do apparently let the county natural resource person know that they're going to show up. But the main thing, there's a term here, incompatible vegetation, which really means, is it going to interfere with the wire or mostly trees? And that easement, I don't think it even needed a treatment last year at all. So this habitat, which could be used for flowers, songbirds, and bees and everything, was perhaps unnecessarily impacted by the JCP&L, and they call themselves, what is it, the First Energy Company. But I think that the Highlands should send out an information request, because they would probably get more results than somebody like I would. What are they using? How much are they using it? And what is the frequency? And what was the exact reason that they treated that easement?
Please conclude.
What was the exact reason they treated that easement with this herbicide last summer?
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Gentleman back there.
Hi, Tim Kraskin. I don't have a prepared statement. I have a business that is highly impacted by the Highlands. It's a campground. I don't want to give you the whole history, but when it comes to trying to expand, and if you have a store, you're inside of walls, you change yourselves, you move stuff around, it's all okay. I can't hardly move anything. And it's not just the Highlands, it's also the township that we reside in. But when you get multiple layers, it becomes impossible, infeasible. And also, as of stealing land equity, if I were to want to take a loan, that has been lost. We're talking about 200 acres. If you go back to the whole family farm, which is still in the family, it's over 300 acres. So also, I'd like to say, it's a noble cause. We do need to protect the environment. There's no doubt in that. But it should not be on the burden of only a part of the community, the state, country. And you really have, when it comes down to the loss in value on our property, what we can do, and even a way of living, we always are concerned. I have neighbors, I have 21 neighbors. Two of those are family. The DEP, anytime there's one gentleman in particular, he calls the DEP for everything. He said we had a sewage spill, we were putting in septics, we were building a pond. All of that was untrue. He just has got a bug. You know, he wants to, needle you when he can. But my problem is, when it comes down to it, I could use some help. I would like to advance. You know, when they say the Highlands, they would like to have a place for people to come visit, they need a place to stay. Well, my business is not going to be able to grow, and nor will it be maintained beyond me or that much longer, because we are not able to develop it, change it. I don't know if you've noticed RVs, they've changed in size. Some of you may camp, some of you may not. There needs to be places to do that. So that's partially my concern, with also the fact that I do find it's unfair for us to bear that burden for the water quality. There should be funding. And I find it very disappointing, I'm sorry, sir, I don't know your name, but to say that you know it's very difficult, well, that's the job. You go, you fight. That's what we're supposed to do. And it should be fair for everyone, not just, and you know, anybody that doesn't own a property, yes, it's great, and we need that water, I understand. But I also believe that technologies are going to be the better way to go in the future, and there are other things we have to do, but we do, and there's no doubt that we have to protect the environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting's over.